Early in ministry, Leroy Wagner was a sincere pastor and a discouraged husband.
You can't share the gospel when things are not as they should be in the home. The more difficult our relationship became, it created more difficulty, of course, in ministry.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, co-author of True Woman 101 for March 25th, 2019. As a doctor, Pamela Edwards got used to taking charge of situations. And when she got married, she continued that practice.
And I was very authoritative. And I came to our marriage wanting him to do things this way and that way and thinking he ought to be this way and that way. And I was pretty pushy. And I remember being very insistent sometimes that he do certain things the way I thought they ought to be done, to the point where he just went into his cave and wouldn't come out.
The Lord started using Revive Our Hearts and the teaching of Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth to speak to Pamela's heart. She started to hear that she could use her strength for God's glory, but do it in a way that respected her husband and left room for him to use his strengths too. Pamela remembers when she first heard Revive Our Hearts.
And I remember I was on the treadmill and she was talking and I thought, she's a very interesting person. And I made note of her and I'll never forget that first time I heard her. And she was just so common sense and very founded in scripture. Her biblical truths were very solid. And what she was speaking biblical truth to women, and it applied to all women of all ages. And it was something that I found very encouraging and something that I could relate to and share with other women. And I've just kept listening to her ever since.
She wanted to support Revive Our Hearts because the ministry called women to a true woman movement. And she realized that each one of us can make a huge difference. So she joined the Revive Our Hearts monthly partner team.
It's just been something that I had received enough encouragement, and I was convinced that this message is what women needed to hear today, that I wanted to support it. As long as Revive Our Hearts continues to put out such biblically solid information to women in a culture like ours today that really need it, I will continue to give what I am able to.
This month, we're thanking and celebrating our monthly partners. So for the next 3 days, we're hearing from some of our monthly partners and letting them share with us about their most meaningful programs. Today, we'll hear part of a series that had a big effect on Pamela as she learned to embrace biblical femininity. The series was A Hurting Couple Learns to Hope. It told the story of Kim and Leroy Wagner.
And I remember her story with her husband and how she kind of bossed him around to begin with. And I kind of related to that because I had some of those issues to begin with. So I learned a lot from her. I think that me getting this type of information has made a major impact on how I relate to him and consequently how he relates to me. And also, I have had other women mention to me that they've learned a lot by watching how our marriage has blossomed and how it's working.
So let's listen to the story that had such a big effect on Pamela. Here's Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth interviewing Kim and Leroy Wagner.
It was a destructive cycle. It really was. And I think it's a fairly common pattern in marriages where you have a strongly opinionated woman, or maybe just a woman that just really has ideas of what she wants a husband to be like, and her husband's expressing love in a different way than what communicates love to her. And so she tries to, she thinks, this is at least what I did. I thought, you know, my biblical role here is to be the helper. So I'm going to help him become the man I want him to be. And what I was doing was I was controlling him and manipulating him through how I treated him. I remember one of the worst years of our life was after Bible college. We moved back to the city where my parents lived, and he went to work for my dad. And you would think working for my dad, you know, might be a cush job, but he actually had to travel and stay out of town sometimes 3 weeks at a time. And we were only 5 years into our marriage, and I hated it. I didn't think we'd make it through that year. And he would call in from the road, and you would think that he is probably expecting, well, she's probably really missing me. We haven't talked in a couple of days. And I finally found a phone booth. That was before we had cell phones. And he would call in, and I would answer the phone. Hi. I was so cold and mean. And because I thought, I'm going to let him know how bad I'm hurting. He doesn't need to think I'm happy here. He needs to know how miserable he's making my life. I was punishing him. And it was so cruel. But I thought, well, this is for his good. I'm helping him. He needs to know. If I don't act this way, he won't know how truly miserable I am.
And of course, that made you want to jump in the car and head right home, right?
Not quite, Nancy.
I hope you can cut out that laughter, because that is a great statement. It is a total opposite.
What began to develop in my heart was literally a crisis of faith, because that which I had held so dear all of my life, saved as a very young boy, surrendered to preach as a young man, began to just crush me. The weight of all that I held dear and all that brought freedom in Christ actually began to crush me. Now, that was I take full responsibility for that, but commitment to staying married, commitment to the wife that I was joined to, commitment to the gospel, commitment to the Word of God. And I felt like that it was not getting better. It was getting worse. I'd prayed and prayed and prayed. I didn't know how to deal with it. And all of my attempts, feeble attempts to deal with it, had been unsuccessful. And I thought that there was no escape, that I must just continue to bear this and somehow do the best I could. At the same time, there was a great conflict, because I had a commitment to preach the gospel and to pastor. And so that which I had loved also became a great burden, because there was this gulf. You can't share the gospel when things are not as they should be in the home. And yet I was committed to doing that, but the more difficult our relationship became, it created more difficulty, of course, in ministry.
And can I just interrupt you here a second and say, Leroy, you were feeling what? Rejected, criticized? I mean, from your perspective as a man, what were you thinking that Kim was expressing to you?
Well, I knew, because of Kim's interaction with me, that I was not the husband that she wanted, that she needed, that she expected, and that I thought that I would be. I was not running around. I was not going and doing, you know, all the things we think about. I was trying to provide. I was, a nice guy. I was not argumentative.
There was a sense you couldn't measure up to her expectations.
I just could not measure up, and I felt like I could never measure up. There would be no way that this could ever be resolved. And then even in ministry, she has such a strong, intense drive that when we would discuss what was going on in ministry in the church, or when there was a decision that I would make, in her discussion, because she was so passionate and intense, oftentimes she would let me know that I should have handled it differently, that this is the way it should have been done. And again, her desire is to have the right home, the godly home, to do the right thing in ministry. All of her motives were altruistic and pure, but they were achieving the exact opposite result of what she desired. And so I began to dread everything in ministry also, every meeting, every counseling, everything that I did, I began to question it. I began to be, very insecure and began to withdraw more and more and more, and actually became very depressed.
And from my perspective, Nancy, I met this young man that the first time I ever heard him preach the word, I still remember his first message I ever heard from Jude, verse 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. And it was such a powerful message. And I saw this young man who had a passion and fire for God, who was a strong individual, begin to crumple, begin to go into this shell, hide in a cave, and I could not pull him out of it. I could not find him again. And we reached a point where I thought either he doesn't know the Lord, or we both were maintaining and staying married only because of our commitment to Christ. And we didn't want to shame Christ. We even reached a point in our marriage, and I remember the intersection where we were. He was pastoring. We were 5 years into marriage, had a newborn. When he looked at me, and finally, all of those years of me saying to him, "You must not love me or you would do fill in the blank," finally he looked at me and he said, "I don't think I do love you." I thought my world was going to end, because what I had so feared seemed to be playing out. Now, at that time, we were operating from the worldview that love is what you feel, or love is what you experience. And the demonstration of love does evoke wonderful emotions and experiences. But love is the choice and willingness to demonstrate the love that God has demonstrated to us, to others. All that was holding us together for a few years was our commitment to Christ and was our fear of bringing shame to Him. We both could look back and know that actually before we entered marriage, God confirmed to each of us mm-hmm. that He put our marriage together, that it was not an emotional union, that it was God putting us together. So we could go back to that. We knew our covenant, that we needed to honor Him with our marriage covenant. But we were living in a household, trying to operate in ministry without true unity, a oneness of heart, mind, and soul. And there are two real spiritual markers that occurred that begin to bring about change in our relationship. Leroy was in a place of extreme depression.
And I think it's important to, I know you've said this, but to note that both of you were committed to Christ. You were serving the Lord. This is not like a pagan couple out here.
All the while, we're doing all of the external, and we're doing them because we want to honor Christ. We want to serve the Lord. We want to see people come to know Christ and grow in Christ. And so there's this tension between what we're really honestly from our heart wanting to do, to honor Christ, to live for Christ, but we are not able to connect the dots in our relationship. We're not able to overcome these giant obstacles that have built up in our way. And the harder she tried, the higher those mountains, the deeper I went into a cave. And so it was not getting any better.
And you were pastoring, and I want to let you get to those two markers, but did anybody else know that this was going on in your relationship, that all was not well?
We had really no one in our life that we felt like that we could come to with this at this point, and we just felt like we would have to struggle on our own and either sink or swim. I knew that God was going to have to work a miracle, but I'd gone past the point where that's that crisis of faith. God, I know you. I've believed you. I've trusted you. I've tried to live for you, but I don't see you working. I don't see that this can ever be resolved. And I knew that committing suicide would be a sin. I knew that just leaving my family would be a sin. I hated what I had become in front of my wife and my children. I hated standing up to preach, knowing that it was not as it should be. And my whole life was filled with fear and dread and just a horrible weight of condemnation. I prayed that the Lord would allow me to get in some kind of accident or be killed in some way other than going on like we were going.
And the tone was it just tense? Was it loud?
I was the only one that was loud. He was always quiet. And the more he would back away from a conversation or discussion, the more intense I would become to try and, I kept thinking I could draw him out, I could pull him in. But he would run the opposite direction because it scared him to death.
Although Kim was responding in a way that she has repented of, and we'll get to that, I also was responding in a way that was not godly. It was not right. Even though I was quiet, you can be quiet and you can be non-combative and still be in sin. And in every situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how hopeless, no matter how overwhelming, I believe that as a Christian, believing and trusting God's word, that there is grace sufficient to match every situation. And I, as a follower of Christ, failed the grace of God. The grace of God did not fail me during those times. I failed to appropriate the grace of God. And that allowed the situation to continue, and it cut off the Holy Spirit from being able to do what he wanted to do. Not that he is still at work in ways, not related to my disobedience, but he's always at work. But I could have allowed him to work through obedience on my part and allowing his grace to change me and work in my life. But instead, I just became more depressed and more defeated, more emasculated as a man.
And so the start of a turning point.
We were at a really bad point in our marriage. And I went away for a weekend to a cabin for two reasons. One, I just wanted to get away from our whole marital situation. I just wanted to get away. Secondly, ironically, I was supposed to be preparing a 1 Peter 3 study for my women. Isn't that ironic? And bear in mind, I'm teaching on submission. I'm teaching Bible study to women every week. Most of our whole married life had taught every week, counsel to women on what they're to do, head knowledge, but did not have even an understanding of a submissive heart, a disposition of the heart that was submissive. But I had a lot of head knowledge about the role of women. While I was at that cabin, sovereignly and providentially, when I opened up my Bible, in the flap of my Bible cover was a little booklet, Nancy, that you had written. I'd never heard your name before, didn't have a clue who you were. And it was called The Biblical Portrait of Womanhood. And it's simply a booklet filled with diagnostic questions in Scripture. And in that time away, I stopped working on the 1 Peter study, and God began working on my heart. And as he took me through Scripture and through these very convicting questions about where my heart was, my attitude toward my husband, my treatment of my husband, my view of men, he took me to some very convicting places. He began peeling away layer after layer of sin. And I would fight every little bit, and I'd say, wait a minute, Lord, don't you remember him? And don't, he's the one that needs to change. He has not been the spiritual leader. He hardly ever prays with me. He doesn't lead me spiritually. I started listing all of his failures. He is not living out biblical manhood to me. And God kept taking me back to one of the verses you had in that booklet was from Titus 2 that says that we're to love our husbands so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. And he kept taking me back to the fact that I was blaspheming the word of God in how I was treating my husband. He didn't let me bring up all the excuses and justifications of how my husband was treating me, but he kept bringing me to, but what are you doing? Where are you? He began changing my heart totally. She came back.
She came back broken and just apologized to me in front of the children, apologized to the children. There was just a marked, dramatic change. And, you know, I was taken aback by it, but I was also, you know, watching to see if this was going to be lasting, if this, you know, I was very, very cautious and very leery. But at that point, God began to do a work that he is so faithful that when he begins to do a work, he will watch over it to continue to perform it. And I thank God, Nancy, that he used you, that the Holy Spirit was orchestrating behind the scenes, and you entered stage left of our lives and of our marriage, although we didn't even know you. And God used his word through you. God used the heart that you've been relaying to women for years to change the heart of my wife in a very drastic way.
At that point, things changed with me, but it took a while for things to change with Leroy.
When you say things changed with you, what changed?
My attitude toward him first. I begin to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ that I had toward Leroy. My thoughts of, why doesn't he do this? Why does he treat me this way? Why won't he be like this? And bringing those thoughts captive and becoming grateful for the man that he was. And having a heart of submission where I begin to recognize how my questions to him about leadership decisions were affecting him. Now, I wasn't there yet at all as far as being able to fully practice all of those things yet. I was just at the beginning point of my heart turning and recognizing a need to change. My heart began to change, but I hadn't yet developed a habitual godly treatment of him.
And I could tell that God had done a work in her heart. No doubt in my mind that that was true, but yet I did not feel secure in coming out of the cave that I was in. And I think a lot of men, in order to lead, in order to be the men that, I'm talking about Christian men, that they know that God has called them to be and that is within their spiritual DNA to be the men that women respect and that women want to follow. I think men need to feel safe to make the decisions, to be a leader, because they can encounter all kinds of difficulties out in the world, outside the home. But the one place that is most important for a man to be validated, to be affirmed, the one place that they cannot be seen as a failure, as a loser, as you're never going to make the right decision, is from their wives. If that is not communicated to them, those men will always be insecure about everything in their lives. No matter how successful they may become, that is the one area. I think that God placed women to be godly influencers, that men can dare to make decisions, dare to fail, but at home, they're going to be affirmed and loved, even if they're beat up out in the world, even if they fail or a decision that they make did not turn out well. At home, if they're affirmed, I think they'll still continue to grow in their leadership and grow in being the man that God desires for them to be and that they desire to be and that their wives desire for them to be and that their children so desperately, desperately need to see.
Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth has been talking with Kim and Leroy Wagner about the power of a woman's influence. Kim is the author of Fierce Women, The Power of a Soft Warrior. And Kim and Leroy together wrote Men Who Love Fierce Women. We only skim the surface of Kim and Leroy's story. To hear the whole interview, look for the series A Hurting Couple Learns to Hope at reviveourhearts.com. We heard that story today as a way of thanking the Revive Our Hearts monthly partner team. We've been talking with several monthly partners this month, and one series that keeps coming up as a favorite is Kim and Leroy's story. Monthly partners hear programs like this and think, I believe in this. Everyone needs to hear it. Programs like this one can fuel a true woman movement in our day. But for it to happen, we need listeners to realize it starts with just one person. You can make a huge difference by joining the monthly partner team. Here's what goes into becoming a monthly partner. First, you commit to pray for the ministry. You also share the message with others. And you support Revive Our Hearts financially with a gift of at least $30 each month. Pamela Edwards does that. And like all our other partners, she receives a lot back from the ministry. For example, each month a new daily devotional arrives in the mail. Plus, she gets a yearly registration to one Revive Our Hearts conference.
I have enjoyed that, but, you know, I would continue to support this ministry even if I didn't get those things.
When you join the monthly partner team this month, you'll get a special welcome gift bag full of resources from Revive Our Hearts. For all the details or to sign up as a new monthly partner, visit reviveourhearts.com or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Tomorrow, we'll continue hearing favorite programs from Revive Our Hearts monthly partners. Hear one of Nancy's most powerful messages that God used to lead many people to a place of brokenness before Him. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth offers true hope in Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.